live now.
Yep. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right on the Edge on One Radio. Join us as we feature GLBT, erotica, and BDSM characters, issues, and authors. We don't have to tie them up or flog them to ask them questions that make them squirm or makes them hot, though we're open to doing that anyway. We record new shows every Thursday at 10 p.m. Central. This show is intended for an adult audience since we do encourage saucier conversations, riskier subjects, and here is where taboo is on the to-do list. Get taken right on the edge.
Good evening and welcome everybody to Right on the Edge. So the recording at the beginning of the show has to be re-recorded because we didn't really make an absolute announcement about this, but Right on the Edge has now become bi-weekly, so it's now every other Thursday. So welcome to everybody who's joining us. I'm your host. My name is W.T. Prater. And with me as my co-host, I have the incomparable Amanda C. Stone. Hi, Amanda.
Hey, y'all.
Hello. And as our guest tonight, we have two of the most marvelous women on the face of the planet. Athena would be given a run for her money by these two, just saying. We have J.P. Barnaby.
Hi.
And we have Amy Lane.
Hello.
And I'm squirting a little bit. So we'll tell the story about that in just a minute. But I'm so excited that these two ladies are with us tonight. Thank you so much for being here. For anybody who is not familiar with you guys, I want to give both of you the opportunity to give a brief intro of who you are, what you write, and maybe some of your more popular stories. And why don't we start off with Amy on this one?
Oh, okay. So I'm Amy Lane, and I write both male-male romance and urban fantasy with some girl parts. I started self-publishing about 10 years ago and have been writing for Dream Spinner Press for the last 5.5 years. And I write a lot of books. That's kind of my claim to fame.
Yes. Every time you turn around, there will be a new Amy Lane project, just saying. It's impossible.
We should totally make up a drinking game for that.
Oh, God. Drunk all the time. Just drunk.
There would be a lot of drunk romance writers and readers for that.
Score!
So, JP, why don't you tell people a little bit about you?
Oh, I'm pretty much an open book. I think everybody knows everything there is to know about me. What do I write? I write erotica and BDSM, and I also write what my friend Cage Allen refers to as emotional terrorism.
Yes.
That would be the books like Aaron and Spencer and A Heart for Robbie that people are afraid to read. So I balance that out with porn.
Yeah. You are definitely good at the extremes as far as like just I don't know whether to cry or get hard. And sometimes I do both at the same time, which is really quite, kind of hilarious to anybody who might be observing. Not that I would ever let anybody watch me do that, of course, because I'm totally not that. But,
that's kind of a
yeah.
Therapist wet dream right there.
that's a plot beneath me. I can see a guy masturbating while he's sobbing. It would be beautiful.
Oh, God. But if I knew how to quit you, I would, but I would be really sad and my life would just mean nothing.
Oh,
so,
whatever.
I'm going to give Amanda the first question.
Okay, so we were talking before the show started about how there are some things that, like, the act is sexy, but the words for it really just aren't. The one that we talked about first was squirting and how the physical act of things squirting is can be very sexy, but the word squirting just isn't. So let's have some more really bad euphemisms and just sexy acts that need better words for them.
Oh.
We're not even starting off gently tonight. We're just jumping right in to the hardcore, nitty gritty, nasty ass shit that, you know, most people are like, oh my God, I love this, or I hate it.
Yeah, we'll just go right into the deep end here.
Okay, well, let's go with, and I put this on Facebook, but when I hear purple-headed warrior, I think porn stash. Purple-headed warrior with a porn stash poking out from under his helmet. That would be uncomfortable.
Now, when you say porn stash, do you mean the guy from Orange is the New Black? Please tell me yes.
Oh, God, no, I don't. I do not watch that show. I listen to that show. I don't even know what he looks like.
Oh, I'll send you a picture.
Oh, Joy?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I think Porn Stash, and I think Bill Paxton in Tombstone.
Yeah.
I think Porn Stash, and I think Jimmy Fans. He had some sideburns going on for a while that were just all kinds of interesting.
I can see sideburns.
So for a warrior, it does not work for you.
No. Actually, I looked up one of those sites that had, like, you know, 2,000 euphemisms for penis. And I'm like, okay, of 2,000 euphemisms for penis, there are maybe 10 that I would actually consider using. So I'm picky about my penis words.
That's actually more than I would consider using. 10? I mean.
Well, see, I include things like member.
No members.
Okay.
This is a members exclusive club here.
This is a members only club. Yeah. Well, you know, certain orifices can be considered members only. Because we were talking about squirting, and it's like, you know, squirting, on the one hand it's like, yay, something squirted because that means something good happened. On the other hand, you're like, huh, gun. Squirting, you know, like grapefruit or you know,
orange
juice. Yeah, orange juice.
I'm gonna turn that around and say that there is something that sounds kind of cool, but it's actually really gross, and I'm gonna go there with water sports. Water sports,
yeah.
Sounds all kinds of cool, but you know, you're in the line of fire, it's really not all that fun.
You like, where's the jet ski?
Wow.
That's my first thought. I'm like, they're talking water sports. Where's the jet? Oh, this is not going where I thought it was.
Something squirting, but I don't really like that.
Yeah, something squirting, but that just doesn't sound pleasant. You know, I take my dogs for the walk, okay, and the 11-pound big dog will go to the bathroom, and the little dog will run underneath, and the whole family has a grossgasm. And I'm thinking, okay, even the dogs are supposed to know how to avoid that.
Wow. I'm totally using grossgasm in a book.
Yeah, it sure needs to go in a book.
You may use grossgasm.
I'm sorry. I think the weirdest word for a penis is staff. Because automatically when I think of staff, wizard's wand,
infection.
And I think of, well, no, I don't go in the gross, like pus realm, which is just disgusting. I go in the, he's going to be like Harry Potter and use his wizard staff. Like, that's where my mind goes. I just can't think of staff and think of, oh, yeah, that's just sexy. Yeah, stab your staff into me. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No.
Now, see,
I go
back to the old day job, and I think staff meeting, and considering I work with a bunch of tools, that's appropriate.
Yeah, that gives a whole new, like, thing to, like, orgies and stuff. So we're not going to have an orgy. We're going to have a staff meeting.
Someone must use that. We're gonna have a staff meeting. Did the staffs meet? Ooh.
And I'm sorry, but the only place that you should see purple-headed warriors is at a Vikings game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And
I somehow managed to always find, like, the worst euphemisms in books, and I don't know why. I don't know if it's the books I'm reading, but I'm always like, wait a minute, did they just say that? I read one recently where they legitimately used mayonnaise for cum. I was like,
oh.
Great conversation, Adder.
I don't even use mayonnaise on my sandwiches. I mean, I would call it hummus. Your love hummus.
love hummus? That's, no.
That's disturbing.
No.
Yeah.
I will tell you that in the butt anthologies, we will do that on purpose because editors come back and tell us, no, you can't use that here. Oh, don't ever tell us what we can't do because we will find a way to do it.
See, there's a difference between using it in that way and then when they were trying to be, like, sexy mayonnaise.
Sexy mayonnaise. You know, it's funny. JP and I both work for, write for Dreamspinner, and our editor-in-chief has a thing against the word turgid. And... And every now and then, especially when I'm writing, like, fantasy, okay, I will use the word turgid, and it's like, I'll even tweet about it. I'm like, somewhere, Lynn West sat up in bed and said, oh, my God, somebody used that word.
See, automatically, when I hear turgid, I think of, I don't know why, but I automatically go to the 10 Things I Hate About You, and the guidance counselor writing porn. That's just where my... I can't think of anything other than Alice and Janney thinking, turgid. Oh, that's just weird. Stop. I mean, no.
Well, I loved it when Julia Stiles came in and wrote the rest of the scene for her. I'm like, brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that is a favorite. Any modern-day adaptation of Shakespeare or Jane Austen, I'm a fan. Even the bad ones, you know, Channing Tatum, Amanda Bynes, I will still watch it because it was Twelfth Night.
Oh, that was She's the Man?
Yeah.
I remember that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched it because he ran around without his shirt on for like half the movie.
Okay,
so.
That is the only reason I'm going to see Jupiter Rising or Jupiter Ascending or whatever it is. Okay, because Channing Tatum, Skyliner. Okay, and Blonde Do. I'm like, so there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sean Bean,
I went and saw
anything.
It this weekend. It's so good. I really liked it. It's very beautiful.
I'm not a big adaptation fan, but I'll do anything for superheroes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, don't get me started. Okay. I have an entire one-hour lecture that I've actually delivered on superheroes and why we love them and on why they just lend themselves to MM. And yeah, I don't want to bore you all because y'all are trying to get listeners, and that would be like the opposite of getting listeners.
Say that again. I missed that last part.
Oh, I said I have an entire lecture, and it is actually an hour, okay, because I've given it on, I call it my pantheon of superheroes, and why we love superheroes so much and why they are actually very, very literary and why they lend themselves to male-male romance.
Because most of them are homoerotic?
Well, no.
Tights, maybe?
Well,
yeah.
It comes down to literary archetypes, and the specific literary archetypes, and there's five or six of them, they have a specific agenda, and the agendas do not mesh, which means that if you put these two superheroes in a room, they're going to be at odds, and that kind of friction between two equal powerful beings is intensely sexy.
Oh, yeah.
And that is where the homoeroticism comes from. That's why we watch Avengers and go...
Two of
these guys must be screwing.
Tom Huddleston and what's his name? The long-haired, beautiful Thor. What is his name?
Chris Hemsworth.
Yes. Those two going at each other? Fuck yes. Yes.
Exactly. See, but it's that idea that there's these two completely equal beings, very powerful, and they will never see eye to eye. There will always be conflict. Conflict is sexy. I mean, that's why we go and watch shit get blown up, because that is the big screen orgasm right there. Woo!
Wrestling naked for dominance. You know, I'm all over that.
Yeah, exactly.
Put a little oil in there. Lube wrestling. You know, whatever.
Okay, so my question on this is, Amy, if that's the case, if you have this diatribe about superheroes, and maybe I'm just not well enough read in the Amy Lane oeuvre of books, why have I never read anything by you about superheroes?
This gets very literary, and it's kind of embarrassing. Okay, did y'all read Canterbury Tales in high school?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
I
know y'all did. Everyone should. That's because you didn't have me to point out the really freaking dirty ones. I imported them. Oh, my God. Some of the Canterbury Tales were incredibly dirty. Some guy gets a hot poker up his ass, and we don't show that to high school kids. That's cool.
Yes.
Anyway, the thing about Canterbury Tales is that it is known to be, encyclopedic narrative. And in every every literary age, about 20 years after the age has begun, someone will write an encyclopedic narrative. And the Canterbury Tales is one, and it covers all walks of life from bottom up. Okay, from the joiner and the miller and the people on the bottom of the totem pole to the knight. And the nun and the, you know, the people on the top of the totem pole, and that they're covering the spread of every bit of humanity that there would possibly exist in society. Now, remember, I taught high school for like 18 years, and it occurred to me as I was teaching high school and as I taught the Canterbury Tales that in high school, that's the last time you see a panoply of characters like that. In high school, that is the last time you're going to see the guy who ends up going to prison in the same room with the person who's going to grow up to be a doctor or, you know, president or a politician or a colonel in the army or something great. And when I started writing, I mean, my very first book, Vulnerable, she's a gas station clerk, but she's, you know, she's also a sorceress and a princess. But that dichotomy between, you know, the people on the ground and that they have a certain ability, and the people, you know, up in the, you know, the people up in the heavens, and that they have a certain thing that they have things that they have to learn, that you just don't get granted that space in the clouds, that you have to learn things and you have to work for that. That is kind of just a philosophical belief. I guess it's pure romanticism back in the, you know, days of Coleridge and Wordsworth kind of romanticism. And it's something that I've always believed. And so when I'm writing, I'm trying for that panoply of characters. I'm trying for that spread from Ace and Sunny, who are at the very, very bottom, to my poor Zach in a going up, who's at the top. So,
hey, Will,
what
do you think about maybe, you know, like JP and Amy's superhero book? Wouldn't that be awesome?
I'm sorry.
Something angsty like Spider-Man.
Oh, I would love to. I just did some superhero fan fiction on my Facebook page. I had the best time with that. I paired up Captain America and Peter Quill from Guardians of the Galaxy, and they had they so did.
That's kind of awesome. I think you're going to have to, like, relink that so we can see it.
I should do that, huh?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. So, and then Mr. Fantastic superhero bondage.
Right?
He gets really stretchy.
See, I'm kind of tripping out because we started out a discussion on squirting and uncomfortable words and somehow segued into Canterbury Tales. That's impressive shit right
Welcome
there.
Welcome to Amy Lane.
I'm sorry. I mean, I totally kill a conversation when I do shit like that. I avoid it like the plague. I'm like, ooh, here comes Amy.
No, she's going to kill a conversation. I think that's a wonderful thing to be able to go from that to that. That's wonderful. I think it's
we started talking about adverbs. We end up talking about llamas.
I'm a llama. You're a llama. Everyone should have a llama.
Speaking of llamas, I have the most fascinating video. Just gotta say that.
That's the whole reason you agreed to do this, isn't it? You were fine to release that video.
Just saying.
We need to understand the llama talk, so tell us more about that.
Yes.
About, oh gosh, I guess it's 2 years ago this July. Jamie and I and a bunch of other people were at RWA, and RWA mm-hmm. was a very uncomfortable experience for many of us. And
oh, man.
On the last night, it's like let off steam. I'm not really a drinker. I should be. I would have been doing tequila shots like crazy if I was. But we ended up in my hotel room, and there were a bunch of us, and I have these two llama puppets that I bring everywhere. They are fluffy and weird and gigantic, and I did a llama. Well, there was sex. There was llama puppet sex.
There was llama puppet sex. Yes.
Heard about the puppet sex.
I heard
a lot of talk about the puppet sex. So that part I'm aware of, but not so much on the llama part.
They were llamas. They were having sex.
Oh,
it was really
natural
and beautiful, and there was llama feelings and llama. Well, I guess llama. Well, there was no llama squirting because what's a puppet going to squirt, right?
There was a lot of fisting, though. I'll tell you that.
Oh Lord!
And then you'd really call it love stuffing, right? Llama love stuffing.
And I swore to Amy that this video would never see the light of day, and it hasn't. It's still on my phone, but. I've never posted
on the Right on the Edge page because I still
that we were laughing so hard that we were really not upright anymore. I'm like sitting on the floor just fucking cracking up. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
JP.
Okay, so are any of you fans of Neil Patrick Harris?
What?
Neil Patrick Harris.
Would we like to be up against Neil Patrick Harris? Is that what you're
saying? Yes. No, that's not what I said.
Yeah, I was going to say, because he's taken.
Neil Patrick Harris did these videos that are called Puppet Dreams. And
he knows.
Oh God, brilliant. They are so funny.
He is
so
brilliant. He is. I am just in awe of his talent. I'm always like, why can't I be that smart and funny? He's brilliant. I love watching his puppetry stuff. It's hilarious.
My favorite is the one where he does a spoof on Bollywood with puppets. And I'll have to post it. I'll find it real quick. Because that's what I'm doing. Yeah, that guy tonight, apparently.
So just out of curiosity, do we have other questions or are we just going to meander from subject to subject that makes no sense at all?
Wait, this is supposed to be structured? You mean I'm not just talking to you guys, we're on the air or something? Oh my God.
We've gone from squirting to superheroes to llamas now.
Yes. With a stop at Canterbury Tales and hot pokers up the ass.
But we talked about Neil Patrick Harris, so that's all that really matters.
That's true. So. Although, I don't know. Neil Patrick Harris, it's funny because some celebrities, and we all know them, Neil Patrick Harris, Nathan Fillion, George Takei, they've got this really great cross-media presence, right? Mm-hmm. And I am so in awe and so in love with the things they do that really does. It goes, it crosses Twitter and it crosses Tumblr and it crosses, crosses whatever actual television or movie project that they are doing. And I am a writer and I do a lot of my work from my pajamas, in my pajamas
from my incredibly crappy kitchen table with my dogs in my shirt, which is as unsexy as it sounds. And
thank you for that mental image.
You're welcome. Okay.
What's funny is I've actually gotten several pictures from Amy with, hey, I'm writing right now, and this is what it looks like. And I'm like, really? Really? Puppy's not supposed to go there.
Goodness.
Well, I would say they're just enhancing the girls, but literally one girl would be 11 pounds, and the other girl would be 4. And by the way, guys, the 4-pound girl, not bright. She's cute. She's pretty. She's so pretty. I did have a point that besides the dogs and the shirt, and I did blog about talking to the guy on the Corbin Fisher representative with the dogs in my shirt. but just that if in my next life, right, when I am svelte and dynamic and also a television media star, I want to be them. I want to be Neil Patrick Harris when I come back, or Nathan Fillion, or George Takei, who I hope, may he live forever, because he is just sheer awesomeness. And there I meandered again and killed the conversation. Thank you. Amy out.
Please, God, somebody ask a question.
Well, I mean, that brings up an interesting point about the integration of all the various social medias, because you've got people like Neil Patrick Harris and you've got George Takei. George Takei is one of those people who, if you're not a fan of George Takei, you've got to be dead. That's the only option that you have there, because he's
or a tea
so
party
freaking.
Person.
Well, even they can find some kind of humor in George Takei, because it's okay to be gay. But here's how do you, as an author, like, obviously we've got all these people, these famous people that we want to emulate. How do you go about that in your own individual way? JP?
Ooh, JP.
Well, going back to the beginning of my career, I had to figure out a way, because there's a lot of things being published in our genre, lots and lots and lots, and everything kind of looks the same after a while. So I had to find a way to kind of get myself noticed in the beginning. And the way that I did that, I felt ass backwards into it, literally. And I started hanging out with gay porn stars, and that helped me to be able to publish and be able to promote myself across a completely different platform. And, you know, I got beautiful guys talking about me on Twitter. I have gorgeous guys talking about me on Facebook. And that's really helped to get my name out there and get things noticed.
Yeah.
If you want to be friends, if you want to be JP's friend, you have to be friends with all her gay porn stars. Because,
Well, her gay porn stars are actually, and this for me is a big deal, they're very kind.
They are
young men, and I feel very motherly saying that, right? Because WT and I were talking about my age. We shall not discuss my age online, but I'm talking about my advanced age, and I was feeling very motherly, and I still do about JP's porn stars. I'm like, they're such nice young men.
I'm not remotely motherly with them. Just.
I know. It's fine. I get to be motherly.
I've seen those pictures, too.
The kisses are really fun.
Aw. See, that's lovely. But I was going to say, as for my cross-platforming, for me, it's... I mean, I do Twitter and I do Facebook, and I have always blogged, and I have... the articles, and mostly it's what I found when I was teaching, which is, they tell you when you're teaching, get to know your students, let them get to know you, tell small personal bits of your life that you do not mind sharing to the class. Notice the very wooden presentation of this. And I got very, very used to storing funny things in my head so that I could walk in Monday when when any self-respecting high school student is both comatose and trying to mainline coffee, and telling them something that would make them laugh. And so I got used to saving funny stories for my high school students. And I'd already started by saving funny stories for my husband when he had to be gone and the kids were very small because he didn't get to see them as much as he wanted, and I would save funny stories for them. And so my cross-platform, I guess Amy can't be anybody but Amy. My cross-platform is just sharing those little bits online, and they take off on Twitter and they take off on Facebook. Today it was that my, and by the way, you guys, I almost ended up bailing on this tonight because I almost ended up flying to San Diego because my daughter fell off her bicycle, and why she was not wearing a helmet. As soon as her concussion phase, we're going to have that discussion about wearing.
Oh my.
Yeah, and Reese Ford, you all know Reese Ford, who lives down in San Diego and kind of keeps a weather eye out for my chicken. She took care of chicken and took her to the ER and then, you know, checked her out. And I'm like, okay, you have someone to stay the night? Then I am not taking the 6:30 flight to San Diego. But it was this close. Mm-hmm. Anyway. And so that goes out on Twitter and that goes out on Facebook, and people are, you know, and suddenly people are interested, and without even meaning to, I've created a small mini soap opera, and people become, you know, people become interested in that. And I mean,
that's just different because of the fact that you have so many authors out there that all you ever see of them on social media.
Buy my book.
Oh, yeah. I hate it. Like, it makes me want to not follow them. Even if Stephen King did that, I'd be like, all right, I need something different. This is just ridiculous.
Now, see, Stephen King would fuck himself with a piranha before he actually did that, which is why we all sort of adore him. But, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so visual images of.
Right,
yeah.
How exactly do you fuck yourself with a piranha? That's the new question of the day.
Well, it'd be really uncomfortable. It would be both squishy and pointy. I mean, how would you do that? That was... Okay. I told you, Dogageddon was coming.
Dogageddon is happening with Amy Lane right now.
Yeah.
If you see zombie dogs, just run. Just run. Do it. Don't question it. Just run.
So, how do you know it's a zombie dog?
I don't want to find out.
For the little
does
one,
tail
you can't
fall
tell.
Off? I don't know.
For the little one, you can't tell because she looks kind of zombified anyway. I may have mentioned the pretty. She's pretty.
Okay, pretty zombie dog doesn't make it any better. So I'm still staying away from
head?
The zombie dog.
Well, as the big one, the big one's not a zombie, or if the big one's a zombie, he'll stop trying to lick my eyeball through my nose, and then we'll know something's wrong.
Lick your eyeball through your nose.
Yes.
That sounds painful.
And it's actually extremely gross. Okay. And again, family grossgasm.
See, I miss out on all of this stuff because all of my pups are human.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
well,
that's so much hotter. That is so much hotter. Because right now I'm going in. You need a minute?
Okay. I mean, I get messages on Facebook all the time from this cute little kid in Denver, Sprocket. He's been here a few times to see me, and he'll just pop up on my Facebook and say, humping your leg, or let's play fetch. He's adorable. I love this kid, and I got a couple of those now. Just go up and pet him and rub his belly. And
can I have some human puppies? Because I'll totally take that. Like, animal play is so hot. I'm sorry. I know. It doesn't matter. I'm not into bestiality, I'm not into real dogs, but human puppies are so freaking hot.
I wrote the hottest little flash fiction thing for him about, you know, humping his mistress's leg. It was just, it was awesome.
I'm sure he loved that.
Now, see, I'm not a, it's like, that's a thing I could read and enjoy the hell out of it, but it is not a thing I think I can write. You know, and so, which means I definitely need to read JP's. But no, it's not a thing I can actually write. I just, and I think it's because if I ever tried it for real, right, if Mate and I ever tried it, we would be laughing our asses off all over each other. And there would be, which is fun, but no sex ensues, you know?
I'm sorry,
that was a great night.
Much rather read something that makes me laugh than something that makes me hot. Because writing humor is so difficult in a book. Writing sex is hard, absolutely. But actually getting people to acknowledge your sense of humor is so much harder.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And it's like one in four people maybe might share your sense of humor. You're so, I don't even want to talk about
yeah.
You know, writing something that is purely for fun. And suddenly you have people going all hypercritical on it, going, well, it wasn't funny to me. And
yeah.
It's like, well, that's too bad because I was laughing till I peed.
So. Yeah.
So speaking of people who don't understand, I just got a message on Facebook from my assistant, William Cooper. It says, oh, dear God, I do not need to know about fetishes.
About fetishes,
oh.
Huh?
I want to know about your fetishes.
This poor boy needs hazard pay because he is so the opposite of me when it comes to anything kinky because he's just so not into it. And he's just like, oh, please just stop talking.
But what's funny is anybody who knows William Cooper knows he writes twin sets.
I know. Yeah, but they don't try it ever.
Most people are like, oh, that's too far for me, but fetishes are too far for him. That's kind of a little bit funny. That's comedic right there.
That is. I mean, because vanilla twincest, who knew?
Yeah.
he is the shyest little guy.
Oh, this has just got to do. Wow.
Poor baby. I love you. You know I love you.
I love you, Dad. I love you, William.
I'm sorry that fetishes is too far for you. But,
now, see,
you know.
I have met William Cooper, and you know what? He is, well, I'm sure you guys all have too, but I sat next to him during a signing. Was the sweetest guy. You know, because you get all nervous and all keyed up, and he was just all smiles and all happy. And I have not forgotten that GRL when I got to sit next to him. I'm like, oh. So, anyway, sorry,
yeah.
William. I won't write you any fetishes, I promise.
I love my boy.
So
now, do
Amanda,
we have any other...
a question?
Oh, goodness. Okay. So, speaking of fetishes, is there anywhere that you won't go in your writing, or is that, like, always going to
Sorry,
be
Sorry, William. I tried, man.
Okay, JP should go first because she goes a lot more places than I do.
Did you just say I get around?
Yeah, baby, you do.
Wow.
Wow. But you don't get around.
Yeah, so he told me he needs hazard pay. So any place I won't go, I'm not a fan of extreme pain like caning or it's stuff that I don't do. The only exception to that was painting fire because I saw a demonstration, some pictures of a demonstration of Tony Buff doing fire flogging and it was really cool. So I did write that even though I've never done it. But I try to stick to things that I personally will do, so I'm not a fan of extreme pain or water sports. Not a real big fan of sounding or, like, saline injections. Those are a little on the extreme side for me. I'm not real sure what the hell that was, but...
That was Will going, I'm just blocking this part out, because when it comes to anything CBT, which is cock and ball torture, I'm done. I'm out. I'm doing the little la 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 la. Yeah, that's me. That's me when that's going on. Yeah.
Quite frankly, I mean, having been catheterized after childbirth, that's all I got to equate it to, and I'm like, just know there was nothing sexy there.
I've had guys ask me to do CBT on them, and I'm like, no, because I have sympathy pain. Like, I can't, like, it makes my balls crawl back up into my body when I even
think
about it. I know
guys who love sounding. I just, it's not something that I really, you know, feel comfortable writing, probably because I can't describe it accurately because I don't have a penis. Well, not one that's attached anyway.
Shawn Michael writes sounding, and Shawn Michael makes it sound really, really hot, but once I get outside of the Shawn Michael verse, I'm like, yeah, I don't know why that turned me on. So it's one of those things that I can read when it's written really sexy, but I don't ever actually want to imagine doing to somebody because, oh, man. I mean, and I guess that's the reason why there's so few DOMs to so many subs, because that kind of precision accuracy, okay, I couldn't do it. I wouldn't trust myself with some man's precious equipment that I will be probing. You know, I couldn't do it. So, yeah, I'm not writing it, but I don't mind reading it when it's written well.
I think that you just made my, like, my brain just popped when you said there are so many more DOMs than subs, because I know so many subs.
Oh, I meant the other way around.
So,
sorry.
Yeah. I'm like,
I meant the other way around. Mouth,
Brain just
broke. No, there are fewer DOMs than there are subs, more subs than DOMs, and it's for that reason that few people have that self-control. And have that confidence to go in and to control another person and know that
it's funny because I always, whenever I think of JP, I automatically put her in the DOM category. And it throws her off because she's like, really? Why? And I'm like, have you met you? Because you meet JP and you're like, she's just an aggressive kind of go-getter kind of, she's very on top of things, forgive the pun, and, you know, it just makes sense for her to be dom. And then you hear her talking about, you know, her having DOMs, and I'm like, wait, just brain broke, what? Yeah.
That is because technically I am a switch.
No, you're still a dom. You're still a dom in my mind. Sorry. I can't imagine anything. I can't imagine you being submissive to anybody.
Well, that's usually the way that happens is my dom has me top somebody else, usually another girl, and so that's how that situation arises.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, we had to fit the BDSM element into this, so now we've talked a little bit about the erotica, we've talked about the BDSM, we've talked about the GLBT. We're really well covered this show. We have
and Chalice?
Covered all the yeah. This is Chalice.
And Supergirls, and which is actually, you know, we could always do the crossover and that whole, you know, which superhero would be the dom and who would be the sub.
Captain
guys,
America's total bitch. Sorry.
I think he would be the sexiest sub ever because he would totally sub with dignity.
I disagree. I think the sexiest sub ever would be Batman submitting to Robin. Because Robin just never, you always think of like Robin as this really petite little guy, but really Robin is a big badass and could like totally take Batman almost any time. Not to mention the fact that he's a lot younger and a lot more agile.
I would totally know Batman subs to no man, but I want to see him top Superman.
Okay, so two things about that. First of all, I would totally love to see Spider-Man bondage because those webs are like totally Yeah.
Oh, my God. Right there.
Oh, that would be sticky in a way that I would be really uncomfortable with.
But I have actually kind of written Robin fan fiction because in Authors Gone Wild, which I got talked into writing for, I actually wrote about Brandon Witt topping Robin. You guys all know Brandon, right?
Yeah.
He was all over that. He was so excited when I wrote that for him.
Okay, see, now I want to read that. Now, see, actually, you know what? It's funny because before I even wrote my first novel, one of the first things I wrote where I was like, hey, I haven't written since I was barefoot and pregnant in the hills and had nothing else to do and no car. And I wrote a bunch of Harlequin romances during that time, which nobody shall ever see. After that, it's like when I first put my toe back into writing, Batman had come on the Batman cartoon. You guys remember that? It was like,
yeah.
It came online in like 1992, and it was so mind-blowing because it was dark and it was gritty. And when Batman was Batman, he was scary ass motherfucker, and I loved him. I mean, I just completely fell for him, wet panties and all. It was just, my love for Batman was huge. I wrote a college paper on Batman when I was going to get my master's. It was just, he's my thing. He is my shit. And one of the first things I wrote was, and it was Het, I'm sorry, but it was Batman and Batgirl. Because there is some canon that says they were together for a amount of time. And then she was hurt and, you know, his guilt drove him away. And I wrote that and I showed it to a colleague. And, you know, that laughter that's like you didn't mean to make somebody laugh that hard.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't write again for like 3 years.
Oh, no.
But anyway, Batman, fan fiction. So I'm like, dude, getting all hot under the collar just thinking about it. Anyway, so now you know. You know something about Amy that no one has known before.
I would read the heck out of your Batman fan fiction.
I would. Well, thank you. Even my
and for anybody who wants to read about the Brandon Witt Robin thing, it's called Between a Cock and a Hard Dom. It's in the Authors Gone Wild anthology from Stiff Rain Press.
That sounds very cool.
It does.
I'm making Amanda speak because Amanda's fairly spoken.
Oh, I've spoken a lot.
You've laughed a lot, but I haven't heard you speak a lot.
Oh, I'm here. No, it's funny that you said that, Amy, because I've actually read your Het story way, way back in the day, back when I read Het. And when I read your first MM, I'm like, why does that name sound so familiar? And I had to, like, go back and look at, like, my Kindle purchases, and I was like, oh, no way!
Oh, those are being re-released. Did you know that?
Really? That's very exciting.
I am actually just kind of on the moon because I've been doing cover reveals and stuff, and Vulnerable is the first, you know, is the first one, and they've got my Corey on the cover, and Ann Kane did the cover, and Corey is she makes me cry right now because you want a strong looking woman, you know, and she's like 19 and she's young and she's extremely strong, and I she went with a short haircut and the strong features, and I'm like, yes, this woman looks like she can kick ass, you know.
Nice.
And then the next cover, and I haven't done the reveal for it, but it's Bracken, and oh my God, is Bracken hot? I mean, just oh damn. And Bracken was my first character that invented himself, where I had Corey and Adrian, and then, you know, there was the thing with Adrian at the end of Vulnerable, and then Corey and Green, and suddenly Bracken stood up in the middle of Wounded, which was the second book, and said, I have an enormous penis, and I would like to use it. And I was not prepared for him to say, I have an enormous penis, and it has, you know, it is self-directed. I know where it needs to go. And he was such
like
an
ass. Missile.
Yes, a guided missile. I have a guided flesh missile. Ooh, that needs to go in our list of things to never say in a book. But Bracken got to do that, and I was, and so when he came out and he was, you know, sexy as all hell, I'm like, holy wow. You know, I'm so excited to see him on the cover of Wounded. It's, I cannot even tell you. It's like 9 years vulnerable. My first self-published book was 10 years ago in February. So it's like,
oh, wow.
Happy. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, you made me feel old for just a minute now.
Sorry, honey.
Oh,
but
we have a question
not...
that was sent in. I'm going to read it out. If you were going to write about a science fiction character, which ones would you write? Let's start off with Amy and then go to JP.
So if I was going to write a science fiction character?
Yep.
You mean like Solid Core of Alpha or a specific science? I mean, are we talking a specific verse here? Or
I think that it's pretty open, however you choose to interpret it.
Oh, gosh, I could do anything. I could do Peasants in Space. I think if I went sci-fi, that would be where I wrote my superhero. I would love to write my superhero. Oh, Under the Rushes. I wrote, it's kind of sci-fi, and I did do Batman. He's my superhero there. Just remember that, WT, that you asked me why I wasn't writing any superheroes. Under the Rushes and the Bitter Moon Saga. I wrote my superheroes there. Okay.
Okay.
But I could do, I probably would do superheroes in space or something equivalent. I would use the science fiction as a device to create someone and to grapple with that kind of gothic, romantic dilemma that heroes have, that they have all this power and how do they use it to the best effect, and when are they crossing the line between humanity and God? I would definitely go that way. That's how I would skew my science fiction. That's kind of how I've skewed my sci-fi and my fantasy.
Okay. What about you, JP?
I'm not a big sci-fi fan. I've really never been a big sci-fi fan. I was a physics major in college, so a lot of what I write is, if I write science, is grounded in science rather than being science fiction. Like with the Riders on the Range, which I just finished, that's coming out sometime this summer, wrote Horse Shifters. And Reese Ford and I had a really interesting conversation at the Dream Spinner Author Conference last year, and we were talking about how shifters weren't possible. So I took the differential in mass and the differential in energy required to make that differential in mass based on Einstein's special theory of relativity and wrote shifters that were scientifically possible, and so that was my foray into science fiction. I would also like to do one that's a parallel universe where a guy is gay in one universe and straight in the other, but
ooh,
grounded in something that could actually happen.
That sounds really
that
cool.
Really interesting.
Yeah,
because
the super
string theory. Super string theory dictates that there are 11 spatial dimensions, and that would be, you know, based on the leap between quantum mechanics and classical mechanics. There's a bridge there that Einstein was working on and that turned into superstring theory. So for there to be, like, multiple universes, it's not only possible, but it's likely.
Now, see, that
well,
that
thank you so much,
be...
Camden, for that question. I wanted to say thank you to her. We're actually running out of time. I'm sorry, Amy. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no.
But we're running out of time, and I want to give both of you the opportunity. I'm sure all the people who are listening would like to know, number one, what are you currently working on? And number two, where can they find you on social media? So let's start with JP on this one, and then you, Amy.
I'm working on two things right now simultaneously because I generally work on more than one book at a time, so when I get stuck – I'm working on Anthony, which is the next book in the Aaron series. For those of you that have read Aaron, Anthony is his youngest brother. He was addicted to drugs in the last book, and this is his story. I also had a boy wake me up out of a sound fucking sleep this morning at 3 o'clock to start telling me his story, and it was really, really interesting because he doesn't speak. So I got flashes of images and no words. It's really kind of interesting. Where you can find me on social media is I am on Twitter at JP Barnaby. I am on Facebook, www.facebook.com/JP Barnaby. My website is jpbarnaby.com. Pretty much I'm branded pretty well. If you're looking for JP Barnaby, just Google, you'll find me.
All the you Googlies. And for you, Amy?
Okay, well, right now, speaking of that original series, Vulnerable, Wounded, Bound, and Rampant, I am working on Quickening, which is the fifth one in the series, and people have been waiting for that book for 6 years. So that's it. Yes, I'm sorry. She's finally going to continue on with her pregnancy. So I'm working on Quickening, I am a project monogamist. I go straight through. I may make an exception because Quickening looks like it's going to be hella frickin' long, and I may stop in the middle and write a short, cute novella because it will give my brain a break. You can find me at www.greenshill.com. On Facebook, you can find me under Amy Lane, but I have a Facebook group called Amy Lane Anonymous, where if you like to read the stuff and you want to come chat about it. And someone started a One Direction thread, and I'm not even 1D, but I let them carry it on because they're such nice people and they're very sweet about it. And I'm on Twitter under Amy Mac Lane. So a Mac is equal to Amy in the Lane.
And you should be able to find links to their websites either on the episode page for this episode on Blog Talk Radio, or if it's not already there, it will be there tomorrow. If you go to writersonlinenetwork.com and then go to Right on the Edge, we'll make sure that there are links to both of these wonderful ladies there as well, so you can find them there as well. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, didn't I blog for you guys today?
Yes. Yes. Amy had a post that went live today on the One Radio, or the One blog. So if you haven't gone to that, you should go check that out and comment on it. It's the oneblog.blogspot.com. And it's a really awesome blog. If you haven't read it, we're blogging about first loves and or heartbreak. And there have been some really incredible posts there, and Amy went up today. So, yeah, thanks. I totally blanked on that one for a minute because I'm good like that.
We distracted you.
Yeah. Well, it was all the squirters. That's what it does. It threw it out.
I thought it was the puppies.
It's the zombie puppies, too. Thank
and
you so
zombie.
Much to Amanda for co-hosting the show with me. I appreciate it more than she knows. Thank you to everybody who's out there who's listening, but we are going to go ahead and wrap up the show. Thank you, guys, and check out, once again, www.writersonlinenetwork.com and find out what you can do with the network around you. Thank you, guys. Have a great night.
Bye.
Bye.